Traces of the White Rose, Part 3, Not in Vain.
Dear Clara, death parts us just at the moment when we are closest. Think of the wonderful hours, of our being with the children, and forget all the suffering. We will remain one heart and one soul. Be proud that you are playing your part in the fight for a new Germany. You are heroes, just like the women and children who lost their fathers at the front.
Today, we live with the traces of those who dreamed of a brighter future. In times of upheaval and conflict, we search for traces of meaning to hold on to and stories of courage and resilience to help guide us forward. In this podcast, we're going to share a story that speaks powerfully to us today, the story of the White Rose Resistance. At its heart, five students and a professor who stood up to Nazism and paid with their lives. Through newly translated letters, diary entries, and resistance pamphlets, we'll hear traces of their story in their own words. Traces that live on to this day. I'm Tom Herring.
And I'm Dr. Alex Lloyd.
And you're listening to Traces of the White Rose, a podcast series telling the story of the White Rose Resistance in their own words, with music by my choir, Sansara.
And new translations by students at the University of Oxford. At the end of the last episode, we heard a letter Fritz Hartnagel wrote to Sophie Scholl on the 22nd of February 1943. He described how grateful he was that Sophie's letters had finally reached him, how much comfort and hope they gave him.
Your letters do me so much good. Today another reached me. And the first thing to greet me were some lilac red petals that fell into my lap. And as I hold your letter in my hands, and as warm rays of sunshine stream in through the window, is not spring already here? Or at least a sense that it is on its way, and a fervent hope that it will soon be here.
This optimism is echoed in a letter Sophie wrote the night before her arrest.
You can't help rejoicing and laughing, just as it's impossible to have a dispassionate or sad heart when you see the springtime clouds in the sky, or branches in bud swaying, stirred by a breath of wind. Oh, how I long for spring to come again.
It was a spring she would never see. On Monday, the 22nd of February 1943, Sophie was tried for treason alongside her brother Hans and their friend and fellow resistor Christoph. Their trial finished at lunchtime.
At 4 p.m, they were informed that they had an hour left to live. At 5 p.m, Sophie was led to the guillotine. Minutes later, her brother Hans was taken too. His last words were, "Es lebe die Freiheit," long live freedom. Christoph's life ended that day too. He had been arrested 2 days earlier as he went to collect a leave permit to allow him to visit his wife and new baby daughter in hospital. Christoph wrote to his wife, Hertha, from prison. He signed himself Christel, the name his friends and family used for him.
The 22nd of February, 1943, Munich. My beloved wife, thank God you and our dear children are well. When you think of me, you need not be worried. Following an unfortunate series of events, I have ended up at the Gestapo in Munich. But I'm not doing badly here at all. I feel quite calm and await the things that are to come. Never have I drawn so much strength from my love for you as I do now. It feels as though I am very close to you. I see you before me. I feel your love in me and my love in you, and I am so happy because I know that this love is indestructible. Even if you cannot understand why I am being held in this cell, then stay calm. Stay calm and do not worry. I am being treated well, and I am not finding life in the cells so bad. And the children? I see them in my mind, one after another, so sweet, carefree, and wonderfully innocent. What darling creatures you've borne me, my darling wife. My love for you often rises beyond measure. I am unendingly grateful to you. I want to live for you and the children. With a warm embrace, your Christel.
After Hans and Sophie had been apprehended, it did not take long before the other members of the core group were identified. Having learned of their arrest, Alexander Schmorell embarked on a daring escape attempt, leaving Munich and heading towards Austria. A reward of 1,000 Reichsmarks was offered for his capture. This was a vast sum, amounting to about half the average annual salary at the time. Days later, he was arrested. He was interrogated and stood trial on the 19th of April 1943 alongside other suspected resistors, including Professor Kurt Huber and Willy Graf. Alexander's execution took place 3 months later. He wrote a final letter to his father and stepmother.
The 13th of July 1943, Munich. Seems it was not to be any other way, and in accordance with the will of God, I am to leave my earthly life today to enter another, one which will never end and where we will all meet again. May this reunion be your solace and your hope. Sadly, this will be harder for you than for me, because I pass on in the knowledge that I have remained faithful to my deepest convictions and the truth. All of this allows me to face the imminent hour of my death with a clear conscience. Think of the millions of young people losing their lives out there on the battlefield. My fate is the same as theirs. With me goes Professor Huber, who asked me to pass on his warmest greetings to you.
Alexander did not go to his death alone. Another member of the White Rose was scheduled to be executed on the same day, Professor Huber. He had become actively involved in the White Rose from the winter of 1942. Like Christoph, Huber was a husband and father. Huber was the last member of the group to be arrested. As he was taken away by the Gestapo, his daughter called after him. "Don't be home late." Huber was interrogated and then transferred to the prison at Neudeck. He wrote to his wife, Clara, to let her know how he was faring. His letter is full of practical considerations and love for his children, Birgit and Wolfgang, known as Wolfi.
The 25th of March, 1943. Dearest Clara, as of yesterday, I am in Neudeck prison and ask you to visit me by yourself as soon as possible. The visiting times are listed above. Please bring just some old shirts and a nightshirt. I'll give the red shirt back to you together with my laundry, and it would help if you could bring along a suitcase for these, since mine will need to stay here. Then I just need my sock suspenders and shoelaces, one pair. You can write to me every couple of weeks, and I'll do the same. For all your dear letters, which always reassure me, and for everything for which you all have scrimped and saved, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You are all so brave, and I am looking forward very much to seeing you. Little Birgit should keep on making music. That's the very best antidote to a lot of studying. She is so dear, and Wolfi is such a good little chap too. Could you bring me volumes 1 and 2 of the Leibniz from the Red Philosophy series? For today, I wish you very much love and greetings to everyone. A warm embrace for you and the children from your concerned father. And please, at some point, bring a clothes brush too.
Professor Huber continued to work on his academic research for as long as he could while in prison. He asked Clara to bring him books and papers. He requested a stay of execution to allow him to complete his work, but it was refused. 3 months after his arrest, the news came that he was to be executed later that day. He wrote to his wife and their two young children.
The 13th of July, 1943. In the middle of my work today, I received the news that I have so long been waiting for. Dearest, rejoice with me. I may do it for my fatherland, for a just and more beautiful fatherland that will certainly arise out of this war. Dearest Clara, your life was a thorny path, but today you are already a saint. Forgive me all the ways in which I have failed you. I love you from the depth of my heart and will be with you and our dear children every day until you follow after me to the place where no one ever parts again. I place into your devoted and loving hands the fate and education of our dear children. I know that they will think of their father and will give as much joy as they can to their dear mummy. Dear Clara, death parts us just at the moment when we are closest. Think of the wonderful hours of our being with the children and forget all the suffering. We will remain one heart and one soul. Be proud that you are playing your part in the fight for a new Germany. You are heroes, just like the women and children who lost their fathers at the front. Dearest Birgit, the beginning of your life has been dark and serious, but the future is bright. Yours and Mummy's letters have been an endless source of comfort to me. I know that you will continue to be your mother's strength and stay. Your father will not forget you. He is praying for you all. God has given you rich gifts. Use them. Take delight in music and poetry and remain the good little angel that you have been to us. Dearest, brave little Wolfi, a whole beautiful life lies open before you. You will be a good little boy and an accomplished man, mother's protector and pride. And if life is ever difficult, think of your daddy, who never stops caring for his little boy. Dear ones, do not weep for me. I am happy and at peace. And when I ask myself, what have I left behind? Ideas, only sketches, piles of paper, hardly a fair copy among them. Death is the fair copy of my life, and that was not in vain.
After Alexander and Professor Huber had been executed, only one member of the core group was left alive, the student Willi Graf. Willi had been arrested on the same day as Hans and Sophie back in February and was tried alongside Alexander and Professor Huber in April. He was kept alive in solitary confinement. The authorities had hoped to get further information out of him. After all, he had been instrumental in spreading the pamphlets and he was connected to many other individuals who had helped the White Rose. But he never betrayed his fellow conspirators. On the 12th of October, 1943, nearly 8 months after his arrest, Villiers was told that his execution would take place that same day. He wrote to his sister, Annalisa, in a letter smuggled out of the prison by the Catholic chaplain.
Annalisa, on this, my final day, I have received your letter, and your words were a great comfort to me. Now you alone must help our parents bear this suffering and seek to be for them what I could not. You know how much you have meant to me, and in this, my final hour, I want to tell you how much I have loved you. Let the conversations we have had in our final weeks together be a help to you and give meaning for your future life. I will be with you, even when I can no longer stand at your side in this life. For us, death is not the end, but the beginning of our true life. And I shall die trusting in God's will and provision. With heartfelt love, your Villy.
These last letters are full of hope, faith, and a strong resolve that they had followed their conscience.
Villy told his sister that others should now carry on the work of the White Rose, and indeed they did. Even as Villy was executed, the White Rose continued. They had declared, "We will never be silent." Their message would live on.
Thank you for listening to Traces of the White Rose. We'll be sharing a final discussion episode, which will feature some more insights and reflections on the White Rose from some of Alex's academic colleagues.
And we'll explore some of the traces of the White Rose today, how they are remembered, and how their legacy has been used in some fascinating and sometimes surprising ways.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Traces of the White Rose, made with support from the Genesis Foundation Kickstart Fund, the University of Oxford's Public Engagement with Research Seed Fund, the Oxford Research Centre in the Humanities, and the Higher Education and Innovation Fund.
The series is presented by Dr. Alex Lloyd and Tom Herring, with production support from me, Robin Davis.
And me, Maddie Morris.
The translations used in this series are by student and academic members of the White Rose Project at the University of Oxford, led by me, Dr. Alex Lloyd. To find out more about the White Rose, and to read more of the new translations, search for my book, Defying Hitler, The White Rose Pamphlets, which was published by Bodleian Library Publishing in February 2022.
The music featured in this episode included extracts from Warum ist das Licht gegeben? By Johannes Brahms, Standing as I Do Before God by Cecilia McDowell with soloist Hilary Cronin, Three Prayers of Dietrich Bonhoeffer by Philip Moore, Komm süße Tod by Ethel Smythe, Blessed Are the Peacemakers by Piers Connor Kennedy. You can listen to the full pieces on Sansara's album Traces, available on all streaming platforms.
Traces of the White Rose is a Sansara Choir production.